Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. This is a really interesting one because Big Al is truly learning something from doing the research on this particular topic. I'm chatting with two friends of mine, Doris Orr and Christian Lind. Doris and Christian, I'm going to talk more about them later in the segment. Very highly qualified people from a financial statement. Doris graduated from the University of Ontario, and she is a CA, CPA in Canada. And Christian is a graduate of the Sorbonne in France. Major profitable ventures to be gained here. I have Doris and Christian on the line with me right now, two friends. You guys, can you tell me a little bit about the ABCs of cryptocurrency? Either one.
Doris, do you want to take this or do you want me to take care of it?
I can take this.
I was on mute, so Christian, you go ahead.
Sure. So originally, the first really cryptocurrency came out from a white paper called a peer-to-peer electronic cash system. And that white paper described a much better way of handling electronic cash and then payments on the way it's working.
Uh-huh.
So the premise of cryptocurrency, it's taking not only currency, but taking it to the internet age. And by this, I mean cryptocurrency in the name. What they are, it's currency, so a form of payments, as well as cryptography. And by this, we mean data and cryptography. So the cryptography part is used to securing the blockchain, which is the technological backbone of cryptocurrency.
Right.
And what we call data, it's really every transaction is recorded in a distributed ledger, which is a giant spreadsheet across, let's say for Bitcoin, on the Bitcoin network, where every transaction is recorded. The cryptography helps secure the transaction and make sure there's no fraudulent access, and verifying that all the transactions are legitimate. A lot of the cool things about this process is there's a lot in common between the way cryptocurrency transactions work and the way real estate work, in the sense that everything is verified. Everything is, when it comes to emittance and remittance, everything that pretty much it's all working on keys, and no keys can be forged. It's just technically not feasible at this point. And every transaction is secured on the cryptography because the blockchain, every block contains information from the previous block and the next block to verify its authenticity on the chain. So it's just a better peer-to-peer network. This is really...
I got to ask you guys a question. Yeah. What keeps cryptocurrency honest? I mean...
In what sense?
A dollar bill, for example, is something that physically you can see, you can touch, you can smell, etc., etc. Cryptocurrency is a little bit different. So since you don't really put cryptocurrency in your wallet or in your bank account, how exactly does it work?
Well, I think the statement you're making, there's... it's not really representative on the reality of the state of money, even fiat currency, like, let's say the Canadian dollars, for example. So the M1 gross supply, which is the physical money, accounts for less than 5% of the amount of Canadian dollar in existence. Most of the Canadian dollar in existence are just numbers on the computers. There is no physical... there's no physical equivalent to it. There's only 5% of the Canadian dollars on the gross money supply that are in physical form as dollar bills or coins.
Right. I understand that. So basically, The thing that people really have to realize is that we really have evolved into a cashless society, whether people realize it or not. But the fact of the matter is, in a cashless society, I guess I would ask you guys, either you, Doris, or you, Christian, what exactly makes cryptocurrency advantageous, and why do you folks feel that companies will en masse be using it in the future?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that question, Al. I'm happy to take it. And Christian, feel free to add to what I say. So one of the great things that Christian referred to right at the beginning was the white paper about the peer-to-peer network. And the great thing about cryptocurrencies is there's a way to get the money from the sender
okay.
to the receiver mm-hmm. with nobody in the middle, with no central banks, no commercial banks, no waiting, no transition from one currency to another. It instantly will go from my account to your account, Al, or maybe vice versa would be even better, with that instantaneously, without having any intermediaries. And so it's a very inefficient, a very, very efficient system that addresses a lot of the current inefficiencies and a lot of the costs associated with the world before cryptocurrencies, or what Christian calls the fiat system. Christian, would you have something to add to that?
Yeah, I would say, especially right now, since the pandemic started, there's also, we need to take into account inflation. Right now, any money, any business who has savings in fiat or in traditional currency, when you have an inflation that's really close to 10%, your savings are really not following inflation. Where when you see cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Ethereum, when you see the deflation rate, and by this I do mean the growth of the value of the currency over time, it's really an asset. The really, especially Bitcoin, it's really an asset as in like gold with a much higher return.
So when you have let me just jump in for a second. So when I, for example, was running my consulting firm, instead of, let's say that you, Christian, were a client of mine, okay? And so rather than have to go through the rigmarole, and this is in a very minor sense, the rigmarole of you writing a check, you sending a check, or you wiring a check, one of the two, to my company's bank account, in this case, using cryptocurrency, it's a fait accompli. It happens right away. Now, one thing I'd like to ask you guys about is, it's called the Creature from Jekyll Island. And you both know what the Creature from the Jekyll Island is. The Creature from Jekyll Island, as penned by G. Edward Griffith, the author, is the Federal Reserve Bank in the United States. The Federal Reserve Bank in the United States sets a lot of monetary policy, which in essence means that the value of the U.S. dollar, what have you, is really determined not necessarily, I mean, theoretically, of course, by supply and demand, but in reality, it's really determined by the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Bank. Taking them out of the equation would make a lot of people very, very happy. What are your comments on that? Either one.
I am a big fan of Ron Paul.